Anthony Ferraro and Mancina, two blind guys, collide to bring you Four Bad Eyes Podcast.
What's up, eyes and ears? Welcome.
Hello.
Back. We're still blind. We're still crippled and disabled.
Four Bad Eyes here. Crippled. We got normally two blind guys on this episode talking about everything, but we have one extra today.
We have a third blind mice.
Who do we have with us?
Give it up for the good old Minnesota residing.
Minnesota.
Ricky Teaser Ties.
Tease.
Let's go.
Yay.
Glad to be here.
What's up, dude? Welcome to the pod.
Slick Ricky Bobby.
Like, I've been calling Ricky Skinicky.
Yeah, there's all kind of nicknames. Yeah, I have luckily we've gotten past the age level where people start calling Ricky Lake. Throwback.
Ricky Lake. Oh, wow.
She was an old TV.
Yeah, she had like a
those talk show.
Talk show, yeah. Ricky Lake, man.
I don't remember Ricky Lake.
That's good.
Before my time.
Ricky Lake, Sally Jesse Raphael.
Yep, right after her. I think she kind of took her place.
Did
over.
Did she? Okay.
I don't know.
Sally Jesse was early 90s, probably late 80s too, I could imagine.
Yeah, my memory doesn't go back that far when it comes to daytime TV.
That was right when we got cable, when Sally Jesse was kicking. So that had to be like 93.
I remember cable.
And Ricky Lake. Cable! It still exists, dude. Everyone uses cable. Yeah. Now you need... Back in the day, you didn't need to have cable.
Dude, speaking of cable, I was in LA and we were watching TV which we never do, but we were watching TV in the hotel room. I was watching South
Dark Tank
on cable. The things they're able to get away with was insane.
Yeah, they got a pass. They have a pass.
I don't know how they do it.
They've been doing that for so long.
I mean, they even swear in commercials now. You know, it's
right.
Do they curse in commercials now?
They skirt around it.
Curse commercials.
Know? Yeah, I mean it's when we would watch it back in the day. You couldn't even say,
but
you, pretty much
damn or anything. Like,
yeah, you couldn't say damn.
And that had to be like after 8 p.m. Then there was the 10 p.m. hour, like the USA channel up all night.
Wait. Speaking of television, too. I think we got a class action on our hands, boys.
Hank, we also need to introduce Ricky here.
I know, we'll get there. This is really important. Do you know the commercials where they do the like a prescription drug?
No, never seen one.
Yeah. Time block.
When they list the things that could go wrong.
Side effects.
Yeah. They don't. So we only get like a tenth of what's going across the screen.
Is that right? There's a bajillion other ones?
There's a bajillion other ones. Kelly was telling me every time those play, when they're saying the side effects, there's like 100 other side effects that are flashing across the screen that we don't get audibly.
Interesting.
I'm wondering, do they get away with it by saying, speak to your local doc, you know,
I can imagine, because I know they have to name, there's probably just a specific number they have to name, you know, the top.
I don't know if anyone's
three or something.
Anyone knows anything actually, about
it's usually
calling.
More like 30, but
yeah, he's like 5 to 10.
They name a lot off and it's real quick.
Yeah, but then there's like 60 others that are flashing across the screen. But any farts,
diarrhea, gonorrhea,
mamma mia,
diarrhea, gonorrhea, mamma mia, maybe side effects.
Oh, shit.
Speak to your doctor.
Speak to your practice.
Ricky, you got another para-athlete here.
Para-athlete. He's started out as a wrestler, right, Rick?
Yeah, grew up in Minnesota wrestled through high school, through college, did some coaching and got into judo and Paralympics.
What is your eye condition?
I have RP as well. So my vision.
RP crew, let's go, dude.
Yep. So my vision was never great, but it was pretty stable to my mid-20s, and now it's slowly been deteriorating in the last...
Gotcha. Did you drive and stuff?
No, couldn't drive, but I definitely could ride a bike, rollerblade, you know, play basketball, play catch the football, that kind of catch the baseball.
So in terms of RP, you had vision loss early. Very early.
You know, we were talking about that because I've met a lot of people with RP, and it feels like a lot of people's stories are pretty different. My brother had it as well, and he was completely blind at 14, 15. So
whoa.
Feels like there's a spectrum of different RPs that might clumped all together into one thing.
Yeah, I never knew anyone who's lost to that early, honestly.
Really? How many people have RP in your family, Rick? Because you come from, there's six boys, one girl, right?
Yeah.
And so, the girls become, Dan taught me this, that the girls become carriers.
Well, it
but the
depends
boys,
if it's RPX or not, yeah.
You know which RP you have?
I don't. So the way as explained, it's it's a 1 in 4 chance. We have 7 kids. Two of us had it, or two of us got it.
Okay. There's a 50-50 chance, and three of us got it.
Oh.
Out of four, right?
Out of four boys.
Yeah, yep. Dan's 1 of 4 boys.
Well, we both beat the odds. You a little stronger than me, though.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, Dan, you made it to like 22, right?
Yeah, I drove until my mid-20s, yeah.
Yep, never drove. Never was even close to that. Always had, my whole life I've had the tunnel vision part and the night blindness, so.
Because when I first met you, Rick, you were able to get around without a cane and stuff, right?
Yeah, so we probably, what did we meet? Like 17?
17, or no, 18. 18, 20,
okay,
18.
So yeah, I was still able to get, I went probably a little longer than I should without a cane, but back then I was still pretty, as long as it wasn't like too busy, like an airport or at nighttime. Nighttime has always been hard. So yeah, since then I've needed a cane and pretty much can't get along without it now.
Yeah.
Ricky, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, Ricky was the first person on the judo, like Paralympic stuff that I ever clicked with, because he was like, he came from this wrestling background and he was just like very, like his judo, he was basically a wrestler. And mm-hmm. I always like thought that was, I looked up to it because I was like, oh, that guy, that's kind of how I'm coming into this too.
Yeah, same, very similar story.
Yeah, we clicked early on, had a lot in common. And, I early on came out here for some training and spent time with his family, got to know all them. So we've been pretty close ever since over the last seven.
How long have you been training judo?
So I started, end of 2015. So I was 32 at the time, and I
almost
thought I'd
10 years.
Try a new sport, and it took.
That's a late age to try a new sport and try and go to the Paralympics, don't you think?
Yeah. Luckily, my wrestling background, I was still coaching.
So you're in shape.
So I was active, and I was working with college athletes. So, I was in shape. I was stayed reasonably athletic, so I was able to cross over pretty quickly. And,
have you been to the games yet? Have you made it to games yet?
No, didn't qualify. I, unfortunately, with age comes injury, and I've been battling it for a while. But
what was your last injury? It was brutal.
I was in, this is a good one. I was in my last injury was a herniated disc, but before that, this one was rough. It was 2019. I was in Kazakhstan. And it was just me and one other athlete there. We were competing on our own, and it was the last match of the tournament. And I went in for a move, and at the same time, I tore my right groin and tore the lowest ab on my left side. So tore two muscles. I'm on the other side of the world. I instantly have to like tell the ref I can't go anymore. I get up, and I'm, you have to get your gi all in, organized to bow out of the match. They won't let you off the mat. And he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm not okay. I need to get out of here. And I go over to the trainer, and like, we're in this country we don't know a bunch about. And I just pull my gi pants down, and she starts like spraying like that icy spray. I'm like, yeah. I need ice. And it's like this icy spray, and she's spraying it like on my boxers. And, he just kind of grabbed it away from her and Shoved it down my shorts and just started.
I'm sorry, playing all over the cock.
If you knew the pain I was in, you would not be worrying about the other stuff there. And so then my flight wasn't for another 3 days.
Icy hot, more like icy cock.
Icy cock.
Yeah, so like 3 days, and I had a 35-hour travel day home, and it was rough.
Yeah, sitting with your hips flexed too, probably not.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh yeah, it was.
Oh wait, how long was the travel?
Oh man, it was from Kazakhstan. We had, it was probably 35 hours. I mean, you get those trips, you have like an 8 to 10 hour layover in Moscow or Abu Dhabi or something.
Tore the old groin.
Yeah, so that was not fun.
Ricky went to the games as a Paralympic training partner yeah. though.
Yeah, so okay. I was in Tokyo as a training partner and got to experience a lot of what's going on there and watch a lot of the Olympics or Paralympics.
Right. So. How are you feeling about this year or next year, I should say?
I'm kind of in borderline retirement right now. I'm feeling doing a few tournaments here and there. Yeah, yeah. You know, there's these 23 year olds are hard to keep up with. So I'm doing as much as I can, but not more enjoying it at this point. I got my close to a decade in that I really never expected. I was in the coaching world and took a chance. It worked out, got to see the world, got to be part of Team USA, lived out at the Olympic Training Center for a while, and it was worth it. Great experience.
Yeah. Oh, you went to the one in Colorado? Is that where it is?
Yep. Lived out there 3-4 years. Lived out there through COVID. So it was kind of in and out of
three, 4 years. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ricky was, he was out there. He was
at the center. Can you stay there that long?
Yeah. You could live there for as long as you're training.
Wow.
They offered me to live there, but I declined.
Yeah. That's
would have been more fun with him.
Yeah. Me and Ricky, like, there's not many people I click with on the Paralympic team at all. You know, when I first started doing it, the coaches hated me because I was different anyway, literally because I had like long hair, I was wearing like camo furry shoes, and I was different, and I stood out, and me and Ricky clicked pretty quickly, and like even to the point where like even our last competition we were together out in Canada, we had different rooming assignments, but we just ended up, we were there both before our two roommates came, and I just went in his room and stayed there.
Yeah.
And it's like way easier to be just chill and be around someone.
For sure.
It's a eclectic group.
A lot of personalities.
A lot of personalities there, Jimbo.
I hear those line get together to turn into orgy sometimes, dude. You never know.
I think that's more the Paralympic Village. It turns into like a...
The Village and the FFB.
FFB.
What is it? NFB. The conferences and stuff.
NFB.
NFB.
Conferences.
NFB.
It's the FF. Oh, Foundation Fighting.
Foundation Fighting.
Yeah.
FB, NFB, ACB.
They're making up new positions over there. Paralympic orgies. Yeah. But...
You ever been a part of one of those, Ricky?
Nope, I've avoided avoided things like that. I found it easier to not hang out hang out with other athletes.
Yeah, just kind of do your own thing usually when you're
there's a pretty good chance that it's not going to work out, and then you got a lot of friction moving forward. We spend a lot of time on the road and on planes, and
this is the problem, Jerry. They spend their whole trip in the hotel and the competition center. They don't really venture out much more. So when Kelly started coming on these trips too, we'd go to explore more, and Ricky was always down. So like we'd just go explore the country.
We'd feel
pretty trapped when it would
Easy to get just stuck in the routine and then just
you're forgetting where you are.
Wake up, train, go back to the hotel. Yeah.
Yeah.
We in Tokyo we got out. That was one of our first trips together. We got out.
This was a trip for the books. Daniel, it was four of us blind guys left, like after the competition was over and the training camp, we all stayed an extra, 3 days?
2-3 days. Yeah.
And, we had no guides and we just sent it out in Tokyo.
Yeah.
I think it was the drunkest I've ever been for a long period of my life. I was 4 days, 3 days of a drunkard. I was waking up and putting whiskey in my coffee and just going out, exploring the town.
Making friends.
Making friends. We went to a mall that was these two Asian women. I think they're from Japan.
You could call them Japanese. We're in Japan.
Oh, they're Japanese. They saw us just like lurking around this big mall. Like this mall was huge. It had like a roller coaster inside.
I may have been there. I went to a mall in Tokyo. I don't remember what it was called though.
For Adidas trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting. That's when Ricky was there when I ordered, I tried to order a 10 piece and I got 50 nuggets.
You got
5 pieces. I tried to order 1 10 piece.
This Japanese wasn't as good back then.
How much was it? You're just paying
yen. I paid $30 or something. I'm like, why was mine so expensive? And Ricky's behind me like, I guess McDonald's a little more expensive here. And then they start bringing 50 food.
Nuggets.
There was like 4 trays.
Eat them all?
I ate probably 30 of them.
That's a lot of nuggets.
I was bringing them back to the room.
I could probably do 50 nuggets on a good day, dude.
I don't know. Yeah, I've tried. I couldn't do it. I got 41.
That's a lot. 41? Damn,
that's a lot.
Yeah. This was years ago, but it was painful. All of a sudden your jaw muscles quit working and stomach.
Yeah.
Your stomach's not letting you swallow.
The buddy I was with
had 60 and just hanging out, just like he could eat.
860? Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I made a bet, McDonald's. What did I do? I had already eaten 2 McDoubles and a large fry, and I think I got bet to eat 4 more McDoubles, I think.
I can do that.
And I ate 4 more.
Prove it, Ant.
I can't right now, but I will after the competition.
Six McDoubles?
Six. So it's a Mc...
and a large fry?
That's 12.
Do you know the geometry word for 12?
Geometry word.
Dichotomy?
Like an octuple or a...
Hang on. Let me think. Let me think for one.
I didn't know there was one. I was just throwing an unanswerable question out.
Oh, I thought you knew it. Oh, you're grabbing my brain.
Yeah, Tokyo was a great trip, though. We had fun.
Tokyo's sick. And they have like the cool paths for like blind people on the ground in some areas.
The cane nooks.
Yeah, a little nook for your cane, dude.
Germany has those too. I love it.
Just track that thing.
Brazil? A lot of countries have that.
Brazil has it?
Definitely in the airport.
Yeah. Oh, in the airport.
Ooh, yeah.
I would benefit from that.
Yeah, Sao Paulo airport definitely had the trail, cane trail.
So do you take the wheelchair in the airport, Rick?
I have a few times. Sometimes I don't want to make a fuss. And definitely if there is a language barrier, I don't cause a problem, but I do everything I can not to.
Yeah. Oh, I love making a fuss about that.
And loves making a fuss. I'll make a fuss.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a few times where it's probably made it possible for me to catch my flight. So.
Yep. I've missed a flight, I think, for that
because of the fuss.
You got stuck in Montreal.
Why can't we get the cart?
I get that a lot.
I would cart.
Like I've only had the cart once and it was in Colorado.
That's a big airport too.
Yeah, zipping around that thing is sick, dude.
Oh dude, I told you when I was in Turkey, the guy was making turns like I thought I was gonna fly out the side.
Yeah.
He didn't tell me to hold on either.
Oh, yeah, weren't you going beep beep?
Yeah, I was going beep beep after he would honk the horn. He was laughing. He would go beep beep.
I was in Russia one time in Moscow on a layover, and it's just me and one other blind guy on the team, and they're like, no one speaks English that's leading us around, and they keep like setting us down, and then someone new would grab us and we don't know what's going on. Finally they like take us outside and we're walking past the airplanes and they put us in the back of this van. And we're like, we don't know what's going on. No windows in the van, just us and one Russian guy.
KGB's guy, you do.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I haven't done it that many bad things in my life. So we're kind of just like looking at each other and it's like, okay, well, don't really have any options at this point. And we're driving and driving for a while, and all of a sudden it starts going up And it was one of those vans that took just it like elevated the whole van, back of the van, elevated up to the back of the plane, door opened, and we were just
no way
right in back of the plane.
Dude, that is bizarre.
They put it right up to the back door. So we're thinking we're getting kidnapped, and no, we're getting like
first class service.
Three seats out, and we're sitting in the back of sitting in our seat. Three steps out, and we're sitting in the back of our seat.
That's elevated. Van.
I've never even heard of that before.
I know. That's some Moscow.
In the van opened up to the plane.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just elevated.
We were outside. Like the van was outside.
And I was driving, had like hydraulics on it, and just pushed the whole back of the van, the whole box of the van, pushed it all the way up. And the door opened right to the back door of the plane, and we walked right on.
How big of a gap between the van and the thing? Was there a little step?
No.
Could you have gone down? No.
Plush,
that's a big plane. That thing had to raise up at least probably
20 feet.
15 feet, 10, 15?
Yeah, this is a long flight. This is one of those 3-4-3, you know, whatever that's called.
Yeah, damn.
Insane.
777.
I'm going to Moscow.
That's crazy. Yeah, we need that.
Yeah. That would be nice.
That's like the... I heard
freaked out and rushed again, thrown in a van.
Yeah, it all.
I know some people have like the crazy service. Like I heard Bert Chrysler, he was talking about when he used to fly a lot, like with like American, I think. Like right when he'd get to the airport, he would like go through a separate door and pretty much go like right to the plane.
Oh, that is nice.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Avoid everything.
I'm pretty sure that's common for the people in the higher pay bracket than us.
Yeah, those things, yeah.
Yeah, I was telling Dan, last flight, this guy got escorted off the plane, and right when he got on the jet bridge, they opened a separate door on the side, and they had a cart waiting for him to take him to the lounge. He was
that's what I'm saying. Those people, how do you get that?
Yeah, you have to be a million miler.
There's only two.
No, everyone's my stepdad's a million miler. You don't get that.
Brian?
Yeah, he's only, I think, 90,000 away from 2 million.
Oof.
Yeah, he used to fly a lot for business. It's something different. I don't know what that is, dude. Yeah. There's also this, I've heard of this, there's a Delta 360. It's some elite club, too. Have you heard of this?
No.
Tell us.
I don't know. It's like, I don't know anything about it other than it's like a higher status than like Diamond.
All we know is that it might exist.
That it may exist. The Illuminati, dude.
That's
lizard people. That's lizard awesome. People.
Tupac might be back there.
Tupac and Elvis.
60 Club.
There's probably some real tiered stuff that we don't even know about, dude. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you get that. Because like at a certain point, you just want to. If you have enough, it can't be a money thing. Because if you have enough money, you just fly private.
Fly private. Yeah. I don't know. It's a status thing.
It's some kind of status.
You're all about your status.
I like the status, dude.
A status is nice.
Something to work towards, you know? Counting them miles.
I
only have like 320,000 all time miles.
I'm pissed because I have so much status on United. And they used to be the sponsor of the Paralympics and Olympics. And
Delta now baby.
Delta Niner. I just had to call because I was in seat like 48Q on way to freaking Chile. And I had to call. I weaseled my way up to row 10A, babe.
So you always call, huh?
Comfort, baby. I got Delta Comfort.
You always call.
Yeah.
If there's any lesson you can get from Anthony here, it's just doesn't hurt to ask.
It doesn't.
Always ask. Oh, I did. I learned something new about traveling solo as a blind person.
What's that?
So in the app, with Delta, you can select that you can choose that or tell like you can tell them that you're blind, right?
Yeah. And they put the little eyeball.
And there's two different things. There's meet and assist, and then there's actual wheelchair service.
Oh.
Which I used to in the app, if you say I'm blind, like that also lets the flight attendants know on the plane.
Exactly.
To give you, let you know or whatever. And that I used to select that up until now, thinking that that would have a wheelchair waiting for me. But that's just meet and assist. which the flight attendant on my last plane told me that meet and assist does not guarantee someone will be waiting for you, because really? That's only the wheelchair service is the the actual ADA federal law.
So we're actually right back to where we started.
So you have to, you got to do wheelchairs in order to be guaranteed or whatever, I guess, to have someone waiting for you. I don't know if you guys knew that, but
I want a go-kart.
Learned me today, dude.
You got learned?
I got learned, and I did not do meet and assist on my last plane, and I was in first class, and I was sitting there right when we take off. First off, they didn't bring me a drink right off the bat, which when they don't do that, I'm irked. You know what I mean?
They don't offer you your
wine. I want that. That makes all the difference when you sit down and you get a drink.
It actually does. Even if it's just orange juice.
Whatever. I slam my water and they got waiting for you. I'm like, I need another drink. Doesn't come. And then we take off. And then it's so fucking loud on this plane too. I can't hear anything that's going on. I think I'm hearing like rappers and something. Like, oh, they must have passed me up to get snacks. He must have just like stood in front of me and like
just held the basket out.
Yeah, I'm hearing Joe Schmo eating chips. I'm like, all right, dude. He must have just been standing there and I was just staring at him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Heather's sleeping. This is a red eye. So I hit the call button and I'm waiting. I don't hear anything. It's like, did I hit the right button? I hit it again and it dinged. Nothing happens. I'm like, damn it. Do I hit this button again, dude? Now I feel weird and I'm kind of freaking out in my own head.
Maybe he's capable. Or
I'm getting like, yes. So I hit the button again and I'm waiting. Nothing. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy had to have came this time and was just staring at me, waiting for me. So I hit the button a third time. Finally, he comes up. He says, can I help you? I was like, yeah, I'm blind. Like I just wanted to get a drink. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that. It wasn't in our logs or whatever, because I didn't hit fucking blind whatever on my flight. But it was very awkward for about 20 minutes when I'm debating whether or not I should hit this button again.
Did you get your drink?
After that, it was all good. He's like, I'll check on. He checked in on me a bunch after that.
Oh, that's nice.
So I learned my lesson of number one, you got to hit that blind whatever on your flight. So they actually know. Ricky, I didn't realize I would do anything, but I guess it does actually flight attendants know.
Yeah, then they check on you more, and they know to be vocal with you. Like,
right. Just tap on the shoulder or something.
Yeah, not just nonverbals.
Yeah, it was very awkward for me for a second there.
Ricky was telling me he schmoozes the flight attendants. If you're nice to them, they'll just keep giving you free drinks, even if you're not in first class.
Schmoozing, yep. Schmoozing goes a long way.
You know, you got to make people want to help you. Ask some questions, be polite, and you know, sometimes they don't come back for the credit card slip.
Yeah. Yes, I love that. Like, I'll come back for you, and I love waiting for them. That usually means they're not coming back.
Exactly. I'm like, do you want this? I'll be back. Like, I'm just gonna put it away then.
That's the move, dude.
But yeah, I had
to lose them up.
I had an awkward experience. I was flying, I think I was on Korean Air, and they're great, but I was in like the middle of the plane, and you know, I'm sure you could find the bathroom, but it's real hard to find your way back. So I called the flight attendant over, and I go, I need to go to the bathroom. And I'd worked with like several flight attendants on the flight before then, but so either like she forgot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So then I get up and walk out, and she just like walked away. And so I like know that she's in the back and like where the kitchen where they prepare the food and stuff. And I sat there and waited for a little bit. And I'm like,
what do I do? So then I just go for it.
Got my cane. So I walk to the back and turn the corner, and she looks at me and sees a cane. She's like, oh my gosh. And I'm just like, yeah, you probably thought I was a weirdo just calling you over to tell you.
I need to use the bathroom. She was like, okay
bucko. Go ahead.
That's really funny. They probably get that every now and then, I'm sure, dude.
Yeah, it takes all kinds. I just don't want to be that one of those.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Damn, good thing she didn't take you by the hand and lead you back there. Would have been a whole other story, dude.
I want to get into the Minnesota meat and potatoes.
Ice fisherman?
I have.
Dan's a big old ice fisherman.
Okay.
Love ice fishing.
You know, in Michigan, you're never one further than 1 mile in a lake from a lake.
3 miles, I think. Yeah.
Oh, 3 miles.
So, yeah. A lot of water.
Yeah, we got the same, man. It's probably pretty similar climates and
a lot of lakes. Yeah.
A lot of lakes. Yeah, that's what we're known for. But no, it's a good place. It's not too busy. I've been out here on the East Coast for a little bit now, and it's busy out here. A lot of people, a lot of cars.
Craziness.
We don't quite feel that over in Minnesota. But
yeah. Are you New York? Where are you at?
I'm in Jersey right now. I'm staying in Jersey. We've been doing Philadelphia, some South Jersey, some North Jersey, going to some different judo clubs. So yeah.
But Ricky lives in Minnesota still.
Yeah, I still live in Minnesota.
Gotcha.
Just busy.
So you're not married, anything?
Nope, not married.
Partner? Oh, you're just still roaming, cruising, huh?
Yeah. So yeah, I'm I appreciate out here. I was just thinking something. I mean, I come out here and you kind of hear about like people on the East Coast are, you know, either like abrupt or rude or
rough on the edge,
rough compared to the Midwest. And
right,
you kind of got to get the feeling of like it's kind of nice because like people that are nice people, they're just super nice to you, and people that are jerks, they're just jerks right away, and you can kind of figure it out quick. And it's more people are just
right,
they're just who they are, and they don't like.
Yeah, they're more direct here.
They're more direct, and it's really nice. I mean, I meet
direct, yes,
way more nice people than mean people. But you do meet some rude people, and it's kind of nice to know right away.
Yeah, they don't beat around the bush and make you think they're nice.
It takes you some time in Minnesota to know if this person likes you or not.
There's a lot of what you call it passive aggression.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they'll just, oh no, you're fine, and like you turn around and like the person.
Yeah.
LA's like that to the extreme, you know. Everyone's like super nice to you.
Oh god, I know.
Fake nice to you, and then you're like, who is this person? I don't know.
Oh, but me and Ricky have been traveling with our mind you, our judo coach, this is the guy that got me into judo. He was always like a superhero. Like when I met him, he was probably 72, but you would think he was 50. Great shape. Great awareness, really super smart.
Real
tight
sharp.
Bod.
Real sharp though, too, like in the brain.
In shape.
Tight bod, sharp mind.
Good
judo,
great footwork.
Yeah, he could still move around really well. And
would you say he has a tight bod?
Yeah, tight bod. He's toit. Taut. And we've been driving with him to like hour away practices. And it's not a comforting feeling when your coach is saying to you while you're on this drive, two blind guys, you know, I can't see shit at night anymore. This sucks. I can't see a damn thing. And my vision's going, and he's like, I can't read the signs. And you're like, dude, are we going to make it to where we're going?
It's so dark out here. These car lights are just blinding me.
Like, it's getting scary, Jerry. I'm worrying about him. His mind's taking a turn. He's not as sharp as he once was. Great guy. I love this guy to death. But it's getting a little worrisome. And
starting to deteriorate. His functioning is getting a little impaired, I think.
Yeah, I think so. He'll tell you the same story a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
He's 76, 77 now.
Yeah, that's getting up there, dude.
Yeah.
Hearing still good?
No.
Oh, that's my dad is like that. Won't get a hearing aid. If you talk to him on the phone, it's I can't even bear it, dude.
Your dad can
repeat everything. Yeah.
Oh god.
Now he's gotten to the point where he'll just even if he doesn't hear it, he's like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he refuses to accept it.
Yeah, it's like, go get a hearing aid, dude. You can probably fix that a little bit. That's funny though. The hearings, 76 is getting up there, dude.
He's going to Chile with us. He's like, I gotta be in good health for this trip. He travels all over the world.
I mean, it's funny until you're flying down the parkway at 75 miles an hour or going through downtown Philadelphia. It's not as funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's been worrisome, but
I remember that I was driving. We were driving with my grandpa once. Last time I drove with my grandpa, my mom's side, and he was on the freeway, and he like forgot where he was, and it's all of us boys are in the car, and he was like, "Do I get off here? I don't know." And he like ended up stopping the car right where the freeway meets the off
shoulder.
Yeah, where it says like the exit sign, not on the shoulder. In the middle of between the exit ramp and the actual freeway.
Oh my God.
And we're all like, oh my God, dude. We got home and my mom's like, yep, we're not, you're not driving with grandpa anymore. It's probably going to happen soon.
He's like, I can't see these damn signs anymore. Usually I carry my flashlight with me so I can get out and look at the sign.
Oh my God, dude. Dude, I used to rock the flashlight. Heavy,
really?
Yeah, that came in. It came in such good use. I bought this, or my stepdad bought me this badass. What was it called? A Surefire, I think.
Flashlight.
Yeah, yeah. It was like 200 lumens, and this thing was like super tiny. It was like a headlight, dude. It was dope.
That's sick. When you were losing your sight?
Yeah, when I started getting bad. I used to like work and stuff because like when I worked at the deli, I couldn't read the. And labels inside of the coolers and stuff, just bust out the old flashlight. Super, super good tool, dude.
I mean, did anyone ask you why don't you get glasses?
Oh yeah. after a while they all knew, but that light you could see in the daylight, you could see that light like pointing on sunny something. Yeah, sunny outside, you could still see like that thing shine on something. Well, it was crazy.
That's wild.
Used to flash people across the deli all the time.
What was it like for you in school, like growing up, Rick, like being blind? Like, did you have the services where your parents like gung-ho about getting you the right equipment? Like, what was it? Or did you kind of just like lurk in the background and kind of try and fake it till you made it?
I had a great vision teacher growing up. And like I said, my brother was a little bit older than me, had the, you know, he had the same vision problems. So they kind of had a test run for me, and mm-hmm. we had the same vision teacher, and I had her all the way through up until high school. So yeah, she was, you know, taught me different skills, different, you know, stuff I didn't need back then, but Braille skills and cane skills and, you know, orientation and all that kind of stuff. And she was awesome. So she'd just come right into my classroom and help me out. And we are really good at, you know, making sure that I sit as close as possible so I can get as much as I can with seeing the board.
Right.
I could see some back then. I could see, you know, if I sat in the right spot. And it's really worked well with teachers. You know, I stayed in public school. I was always in public school and just worked well with teachers. I was lucky to go to a really, really good school, and they worked really well with me.
Yeah, because a lot of times you mm-hmm. get left in the dust.
Well, if
in the public school system,
if you let yourself, you know, unfortunately, you gotta have a support system to teach you how to advocate, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, sounds like you had the good mom, good parents, you know, gone through it at least once before you. And you know, yeah, they're
so well balanced. They let me do everything. I mean, obviously they wouldn't let me do anything dangerous, but they still let me go out like and ride my bike and rollerblade and test limits. They weren't, you know, they weren't afraid of skinning a knee, you know.
Yeah.
Were you a trick blader or just cruising?
Trick blader.
You know, it was mainly getting from place to place.
Just cruising, yeah.
I could go down steps.
Yeah, some K2s. What were you rocking, dude? Some Bowers?
Oh man, that's a great question. Don't remember. It's been a long time.
Cheese curds.
Cheese curd.
15 or 10 left.
But yeah, I was lucky. Like, and it was, you know, it's kind of mm-hmm. like I was talking about the airport earlier. You know, you have a good relationship with people, and they're way more willing to check in on you, go out of your way.
Yeah.
You know, if you need extra time for something or you need a little extra help,
You're good at being an advocate for yourself and just being just nice and talking, explaining everything that's going on. And
yeah, I mean, people are
building a relationship with your teachers. Yeah.
Are more willing to help someone they like in any aspect of life than someone's disrespectful.
Did you go to college?
Yep. I did 2 years of junior college in Rochester, and then I got a psych degree at Wisconsin La Crosse. And then I got a master's in sports psychology did it online at Chicago School of Professional Psychology.
You had to move to Wisconsin? Is it in Wisconsin, I'm assuming?
Yep.
Yeah.
So my vision was still pretty good then. And I had some high school friends that I were down there that already had a house, and I moved in with them, and I was on the wrestling team. So easy to make friends and jump right into a opportunity to meet some new people. And so it was a good experience.
Yeah. When you wrestled, did you do like how Ant had to do? We had to do contact.
Yeah.
You did do all that.
Yeah. Yes, that actually.
Yeah. I did that. I mean, I didn't start doing that till, junior high or
like seventh, eighth grade.
Yeah. I'm sure I did in seventh grade. I was a JV in seventh grade.
Did you ever get backlash against it?
Yes.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, tell me about it. I'm interested because I didn't know other people dealt with this.
Oh, I definitely had.
Did they say you had an unfair advantage?
Well, if you beat them, yeah, they felt that way. But it went all the way. There was a lot of times where people were complaining. I think my junior year, I got kind of sick of it, and I still had some decent vision then. I mean, it wasn't so much like I was worried about wrestling. I was worried about injury of someone getting out of my tunnel and blowing a knee out or something.
That's the main reason for the two-hand touch too, is like it prevents really serious injury.
So there was a lot of complaint about it, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do it. So about the first couple weeks of my junior year, I went away from it, and literally the coaches were like, shoot low. Back up, shoot low.
Oh my God.
They weren't super high quality opponents, so it didn't really matter, but it was still like, I'm not going to put myself out there at risk. So,
yeah.
But in college, there was a national tournament in junior college. There was a coach that protested. He's not blind. I saw him walking around, stopped the whole tournament. It's like, we want documentation. And my brother was there. A little feisty, and he like went after the coach, and my aunt was yelling at the assistant coach, and it was after I beat their kid, and then the head ref comes over, and back then the JUCO Nationals were hosted at my home school, so there were some referees from around that knew me, and they had been reffing me since I was in eighth grade, seventh grade, so I mean they're like, no, we know that this guy is visually impaired, so. But yeah, I mean, it's
that's when I saw him walking around. Like, yeah, blind people can walk around. Is it that crazy?
I love how that's their like deciding factor. He's not blind. He was walking. Jeez, how'd you do in high school?
I did well. I went to state a couple times. Took fifth my senior year.
Took fifth in the state.
Yeah. Wow.
Then you wrestled college too.
Yeah, I had so I had two good years at
junior college. Junior college nationals is no joke. The JUCO nationals,
JUCO, no,
it's tough. I was ranked pretty high in my sophomore year, and I tore my labrum right before nationals, and I wrestled but didn't compete well, and that's kind of when my injuries started, and then took like 10 years off and felt a little better, and then got back into judo, and then the injuries came back. But I went to UWL and started wrestling there, and same kind of thing. This was probably more vision caused. Early in the year, the room is full, and I did all the preseason, was doing really well, and then the first actual day of practice, if you're familiar with wrestling, you hit a shot, you do a little drop step. So one of your legs drops back to drive off of, kind of like if you're hitting a sprint, if you're sprinting out of the gates or something. And someone else just happened right when I planned to come in from the side and tore my right MCL. So it was 6 weeks of rehab, four or five, 6 weeks, something like that. And I come back, my next practice back, exact same thing, except for the opposite knee, drop step with my left knee, guy comes in from the side, tore my other MCL, and then that was the season.
Good Lord. The knees, man, the knees scare me. Yeah,
it's hard in those rooms. I mean, you know, in judo, and people are flying around. And
yeah, I get worried about people landing on my ankles, like someone else throwing someone else that you're
bodies
not.
Bodies flying,
dude. Yeah. Bodies are literally flying, and it's like, it's you do have an anxiety over you of like, dude, if I get hurt from that,
yeah, going up on you. I mean, if you can't see it coming, you gotta,
especially when it's a room full of blind people, that's the scariest.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, like any aspect of life, a room full of blind people is the scariest.
Mm-hmm. See a skate park full of blind people.
Oh my god,
it's insanity!
I can't imagine.
Oh my god,
yeah, no, it's
a lot of injuries, though. That's rough, man.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing combat since 06.
Right.
That's in part of the game.
How did you get recruited for the para team?
Like I said, I was after college, I coached and wrestling a little bit, and I ended up going out to Wheaton, Illinois, and coaching at Wheaton College for 1 year. And when I was out there, I thought, yeah, I'm going to start some clubs going up in the nation. And that's kind of the new trending thing of wrestling clubs outside of your high school. So I came back home and I started my own club called Inner Drive. And it was, you know, youth kids and high school kids. And I was also coaching at the junior college there where I wrestled, and did that for about 8 years with doing that training center. And cool. A guy that I'm in Rochester, and the Mayo Clinic's there. And there was a resident who was a wrestler. He was a resident doctor there. He was a Harvard wrestler. And he was coming in and just helping out a little bit, just wanted to be around wrestling. And he's shared this article with me that USA Judo put into USA Wrestling. They put an article in there saying, USA Judo put an article in USA Wrestling saying that they're looking for ex visually impaired wrestlers to try out for judo. I mean, I don't think they're looking for a 32-year-old. They're probably looking for 19 and 20-year-olds. But I might try that. So I put in an email and didn't hear back for a little bit. And finally, a different friend of mine is like, hey, did you ever follow up on that? Like, yeah, if they want me, they'll call me. And he's like, just follow up. So I one day just get a little ambitious. And I just looked up the head coach's number, who's still the head coach out there, and just called his office and said, hey, I saw this. And he's like, well, we have a camp coming up here pretty soon. We can bring you out to Denver and see how it goes. And I went out there to Denver. First time I didn't know the rules of judo. I didn't know anything about it. Never wore a gi before.
Mm-hmm.
And out there, put on a gi, had a good camp. This was, I think, man, maybe like October of 2014. And by February of 2015, I was in Hungary fighting at a World Cup.
Jeez, yeah.
Same.
It went fast.
That is
and
wild.
Went one score away from beating the returning silver medalist
from the game
in my first match. Yeah, the guy
that's
the guy that lost in golden score in overtime to lose the gold medal, the silver medalist. He beat me by
half point.
Yeah,
Wazari.
Sorry. Yeah, that's crazy. This has been going at it ever since.
Yeah,
almost 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah, it went quick, and you just kind of it was fun. You just kind of learned on the fly. I mean, there was some I didn't rules. Yeah, you know, so judo is all in Japanese, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know the rules. There were tournaments I'd go to, and like we'd get in this big exchange, and there'd be a big throw, and then the ref would stand you up, and he'd say bow, and you bow, and he grabs you, and he walks you off, and I'd walk off, and I'd go to my coach, and I'm like, Did I win?
Yeah.
He's like, yes, you won. I'm like, oh, good.
Jeez, yeah.
Oh.
Isn't if you throw them straight to the back, that's an automatic win or no?
Yeah, I mean, that's how it's supposed to be, but sometimes it doesn't always get called that way. And like, yeah, yeah. All they're talking about they say the colors of the score, the color of the gi and the score in Japanese, and they point to the winner, and you can't see that. So I like, there's definitely multiple times, and I'm not even joking about this, I did not know if I won or lost walking off.
Weird feeling. I get like that too. Even when I know I won, I'm like, did I actually win?
Did I get DQ'd?
Yeah.
Or did I win? There's a lot of ways to get DQ'd.
I get it. That would take me so long to get that stuff down.
You did Gracie Barra.
Yeah. Things weren't in Japanese. That's what that would really throw me off.
Yeah.
Of having to, even if it's just a little bit, but all the names, like, that would take me a long time.
I don't know
time.
Half the names. I still call them by their wrestling moves.
Yeah.
People are like I go to a camp and people are speaking Japanese names and counting in Japanese, and I'm like, don't call on me, please. I'm just wrestling with a jacket on.
They'll be like, yeah, do a Kosarogari. I'm like, well, show it on me how you do it first.
Yeah, exactly. Let me see how you do it.
Oh, a back trip. Gotcha.
Yeah. Dang. See, I think I'm intrigued by it. I want to go stay at the Denver camp, dude. That sounds fun.
Well, the training center in Colorado just like ended, like it's over. There's no more judo there, and they're relocating it to, they just built a whole new training center in North Carolina.
Ooh.
In Raleigh.
Are they going to do judo there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a residence program.
Yeah, there's going to be, people can live there, and there's going to be like all the facilities and stuff.
I love North Carolina.
Do you?
I don't know. Yeah.
You've been to Minnesota too for skating, haven't you?
Minnesota.
Did you go?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been a bunch of times. Yeah.
Minneapolis?
Minneapolis. MSP, the whole MSP area. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you were the one that told me to get a Juicy Lucy.
Juicy Lucy. Yep.
Oh, you can't go to Minnesota without getting the Juicy Lucy from where?
From Matt.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I don't remember the name. Well, there's two spots,
yeah,
but that's the
went
one.
To the bougier one, but the bar spot is the one.
This one is just, that's all. You only thing on their menu is
Juicy Lucy and fries. And beer.
And beer. It's like an actual bar. We drove, the other one's not far from it. We went to the other
one. Yeah, it's
like
a block away or something.
Yeah. We like pass it when we
like
left.
Space 28 or something. I forget. It's a number. Yeah.
I've never been there. I don't know.
Yes, yes, yeah. The number thing, something like that. Yeah.
Minnesota. I didn't mind Minneapolis. I kind of like the vibe.
I like, dude, that city's sick, dude. I like that city.
A lot of music, a lot of art, a lot of good food.
Really good skate spots.
Good lot of spots, yep.
Yeah, a lot of skate spots. Did you grow up around any skaters?
Ah, man, I had friends that did some skateboarding, and most of my friends are hockey players, so they're more doing like the rollerblading tricks.
Yeah.
Bladers.
I think my cousin just got traded from the Romanian team to the Finland team.
Is that up? Is that up
hockey?
I don't know. Yeah, hockey.
Oh, is he's like...
He was in the and he was the 6th round draft pick to the Penguins the year after they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And
from Crosby. Yeah.
Yeah. He got in trouble or something. I don't know. Some stuff happened. He got in trouble. He got put on another team and then on another team. And now he's like 27, 28. He's an incredible athlete, but I think like they start weeding you out of the NHL stuff when you're a little, like when you're in your later 20s.
Mm. Unless you're a top dog. Yeah.
Well, if you're a top dog and you're in your later 20s, you're probably in the NHL already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I came from a big hockey town. I know a lot of people that made a good life playing over in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm from hockey town, baby. The hockey town.
Yeah. Okay.
Detroit, baby.
Oh, I know.
We've been blowing it for the last, 8 years now, 10 years. I don't even know.
You'll get it back. You're the hockey town.
But hockey, that's a tough sport. But yeah, a lot of hockey players where I'm from too.
I hung up my helmet.
I never played for fun, but I was never on a team. But expensive sport, man.
Yeah, super expensive sport.
My brother played. He was on like, yeah, high school team. We won state 1 year, actually.
My cousin, actually, when he was in high school, he went to live with a host family in Michigan.
Oh, really? For hockey?
Yeah.
I think you told me about this. Yeah. Yeah.
It was for like the Junior Olympic stuff.
Yeah, that's sick, dude.
So he
hockey's
juniors.
That's one sport I enjoy listening to, watching, and going to see games still.
Probably my favorite.
I've never been to a hockey game.
Probably my favorite live sport to go to.
Yeah, it's fun.
You can't see it, but it's quick. You're not there that long.
Uh-huh.
You can, like, the crowd is always into it.
You guys, what am I missing here?
Dude, because you go to baseball or football.
I'm going to sleep there, Jared.
Every 3 minutes, you're like waiting, a commercial
and then there's
break
like
or
a,
some
yeah,
delay.
Or basketball
like,
is the worst.
Come on. Hockey's like moving, dude.
Yeah, the crowd's exciting. You know what's going on. You know when a goal hits. You know when the other team scores. It gets quiet. You know it's
yeah. It's not. And when if you can get the tickies where you're like on the ice where you're against the boards. Oh, that's the best, dude. They're smashing against the boards right there.
Yeah,
I it's colder than your average building, but you're chilling.
Wear a sweatshirt. You're fine.
Yeah.
Never been to one. I gotta go to a hockey game.
We gotta get you, dude. We gotta get you going.
Detroit.
Does Jersey,
Devils?
New Jersey Devils, right?
Devils, yeah.
Devils, Red Wings game.
Do they not play in New Jersey though?
Oh, I think they do at the Prudential Center.
They do? Okay. Isn't there some team that doesn't play in the state? Who is that?
The Giants play in New Jersey at.
That's what I'm thinking.
At the Jets Stadium.
Yeah, but the Jets are in New York too.
Well, they both play in New Jersey.
Yeah, they both play
in Jersey though.
Yeah. Make no sense. Why don't you make one of them New Jersey, one of them New York?
Well, sounds like they're both
New Jersey, right?
Right. Apparently, the Giants used to play, either Giants or the Jets used to play in New York, like right outside the city limits. But
yeah, we have to go to a hockey game, dude.
I'm down.
And why did they name their football and baseball team the same? New York Brooklyn Giants and New York Giants.
Yeah, and then there's the.
They really like that Giants name.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, the New York Giants. Wait, which team is the baseball team? Are they San?
That's San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
They moved from Brooklyn. I believe.
No, that was the Dodgers.
Okay, Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah,
oh, it used to be the. Yeah, I know that.
San Francisco Giants started out east.
Oh wow, I remember watching Barry Bonds against the Mets.
Barry Bonds, baby. Barry Bonds and McGuire for the home run race, dude. Remember those days?
Who was taking more steroids
back then?
I think McGuire, dude. That guy was.
That was McGuire. I think you're getting it wrong. I think McGuire Sosa.
Oh, is it? It wasn't Bonds. Okay.
McGuire Sosa Griffey had that crazy run and.
Okay.
Hank Griffey Jr.
Yeah, and then Bonds came a few years later and shattered their record.
That's what it was. Bonds came and screwed. Yeah, he beat their records like out of the water.
But I don't think any of them were juicing.
No, I think all of them were caught.
Oh, come on, Ant.
Yeah.
Who you been listening to, man? That's
the juice is loose, baby.
Juice is loose.
There was no steroids in baseball back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, there's no cork in the bat.
So funny. If you could see these photos of Mark McGuire, some of them are like clearly.
Is he shredded? Is he like shredded?
His
or
neck muscles are like insane, dude.
He's just his forearms are like the size of
a baseball bat.
Your quads
bigger, dude.
My like, God, that's
huge.
Insane.
He's like a bodybuilder.
Oh, that's wild.
It's like obvious, like if
and then you go back to Babe Ruth. He's smoking cigarettes, eating hot dogs.
Yeah, smoking a stogie and having a whiskey.
Yeah,
yeah.
Those were the days,
yeah, dude. Good old days, dude.
Wrap it up. Do you have any? Sometimes we throw out like peeves on here, Ricky, like shit stuff that pisses you off. You got any fresh on your mind? Something that just really irks you when someone does something or you're at a restaurant and they do this. It could be blind related, unblind related.
Oh, man. You know I'm pretty easygoing.
I know.
There's not a lot, but really, I kind of like let stuff go pretty quick. Beatless. You kind of have to. I mean, there's obviously things that can bother you, but
Yeah, that's
things that have been bothering me recently is, and like I said, people in the airport are real helpful, but there's been a lot of gate changes lately. And
gate changing.
A to gate change.
And they're not always coming to help you these days. There's been a few times where I've had to like
hitch on to someone else, like
find the desk.
They'll make you wait for someone, but you're gonna miss your flight, and you got to hitch on with someone that's on the same flight.
And they'll leave right away. And airports, I mean, like I always get where I need to go, but it's been rough. I mean, a lot of waiting on the plane for those people to come. They've been stuck there for 30 minutes before you got a ride waiting outside for you.
Yeah, that's the worst. You just want to get off.
Yeah, the last couple of years it's really been flying has been a little more dicey than it ever has in the past. And same thing. You got to figure it out.
I mean, now because it's getting so much busier now, it's like now it's back to full craziness.
I don't know if maybe some things changed during when it was slow during COVID and they haven't readjusted. But I mean, so here's the story. I was coming back from Vietnam a few months ago, and I had a 12-hour, 14-hour layover in Seoul, Korea by myself. So they put me in this kind of area where I just threw my backpack down and laid on the ground, dozed off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yep, we're going to come get you, whatever. And I'm looking at my watch, my flight's, you know, it's leaving an hour and 20, then it's leaving an hour, and like no one's coming. And I'm in Korea, and now I'm like, my flight's boarding in 10 minutes. So I had to get on Google, find the number to the Seoul airport, call somebody there, and you know, they're in broken English, and I'm trying to explain, like, I'm blind. They're like, well, where are you at? Like, I have no idea.
They dropped me somewhere in the airport.
I'm sitting by a bunch of chairs. I'm where you put me. Like, but my plane's getting ready to leave, and they're like, well, call whatever airline I was flying. I don't even remember. So all of a sudden this lady like comes running up, and like, get this one time she's like, get in the wheelchair, we gotta go. It's like, everybody move. And we're flying through right onto the airport. But I mean, I would have missed my flight if I wouldn't have had gone myself and had to go find a number, call people, you know, have an uncomfortable conversation. And I don't know. I can't think of anything that's really sticking out with pet peeves.
Do you have any bits? Have you ever done stand-up comedy? Oh, what?
One pet peeve I have is when someone says, without my glasses, I can't see very well either.
Oh, that's a good one. That's
a really good one.
That's a really good one. I can't stand that comment either. Or that we've talked about this on here when people be like, you know, I was blind for one day once, but it came back or something. Just people will say the darndest things.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's always I got a new buddy. My buddy in college is blind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cool. Sweet.
It's kind of funny because it's the same thing with wrestling. Everyone that comes up to you, I wrestled for a couple years in youth.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. Everyone does.
I used to skate. Yep. I used to wrestle.
I had a skateboard growing up.
Yeah. We had the wheels.
So you can relate to me in something else. You don't need to relate to something we have nothing in common about.
True.
Man,
sweet.
Well, thanks a lot for coming on, Rick. Is there somewhere where people can find you if they want to?
Probably the only place you'll find me is Instagram, Ricky Tease, T-I-E-S. I think four. Ricky T's four, I believe.
Oh, number
four. Not bad. Pretty high up there.
I lost my password four times previous.
Ah, jeez, dude. Gotta use that password keychain in the old Apple, dude. You Apple user?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Voice over.
Yeah. All Apple, yeah.
Well,
I'm glad to be here, guys. It was fun.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. It's an honor to have you on here. Sure, we'll talk to you again, and appreciate everyone listening. Dan's got to go do some.
Got to finish my drywall.
Drywalling.
Drywalling and framing.
Framing.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ricky.
Call in 908-349-1480 and leave your angry messages and voicemails.
And, yeah, we'll get to more of those next up. I got one.
And I saw your angry comments. Don't think I didn't see them. Sorry about my one comment last pod, but you can't please everyone.
Nope.
And the burping and farting will continue. It will prevail. So if you don't like it, I'm sorry.
You know, it's only, yeah, not a lot.
No, it's only one person. But I do address it. It's like 30 people getting pissed off. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, call in, subscribe, like, leave a comment, leave a good review, bad review, whatever you want. This has been Four Bad Eyes. I'm Anthony Ferraro.
Dan Mancina.
And as always,
keep pushing.
And one love.
Keep pushing. And one love from Four Bad Eyes.